I'll let you go ahead with your questions. And,
okay. Well, then where did you go to school?
I went to Longfellow, Las Vegas, and Poly.
Oh, okay.
And, then on to college. Mm-hmm. And so...
I'm interested in how the neighborhoods developed. You lived in California Heights, and so that was built about in the
30s.
In the 30s.
Yes. Back, my dad and mom built the house that we lived in on 36th Street in 1930,
uh-huh.
or started in 1929.
Uh-huh.
And that's when he was with Hancock.
Uh-huh.
And they built that house, and he lived there until 1939. And Las Vegas was here, but Bixby Knowles wasn't. I mean, that was all just fields. And this part over here, Elm and that, was oil fields. That's why they didn't build in there for a while, because there was, it wasn't considered, you know, too close to the pumping units. But those wells didn't last as long.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have the longevity that the wells of Signal Hill had.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's still some there, but they didn't have near the production. And
Then in 1939, your family moved to.
Then my mom and dad built a home on California Avenue, Bixby Knowles.
Uh-huh.
And I was going. That's where I went to Las Vegas, and then on to Poly. And then by that time the war came along, so I was gone by then.
Uh-huh.
I mean, and so.
So was it like growing up in Long Beach in the 30s?
Long Beach was very light and a very nice town. I mean, it was about 200,000 people, and
what kind of things did you do? Did you sport?
Oh yeah, no, just as usual things. I mean, baseball, whatever kids do. We had the riverbed here to play in, which at that time wasn't concreted. It was dangerous, but I mean. We camped along here at night. I mean,
oh, you camped?
Oh, yeah. And you could hunt. There was hunting along here.
Did you ride horses down there?
Yeah, I had a horse. Yeah, I had a horse that had gotten from somebody given to my dad from Arizona. It was gotten wild.
Oh.
And I kept him up here. In fact, the family that had a stable up here was the Wildmans. I don't know if there is a Paul Wildman around, which is an old oil-oriented family. He's still in the oil business.
Oh.
And he's up on Signal Hill, and now there's somebody that would be good to contact. And the Wildmans, I forget the name of their company, but they were very early in production.
Mm-hmm.
And, but anyway, as far as going up in town goes, to Long Beach, as far as the impact of the oil goes, I have to assume that it had a great deal of benefits for the city in the long run, other than the wells weren't very attractive, but it was pretty much confined to Signal Hill primarily.
Yeah.
And now, of course, during the Depression, I mean, the price of oil went down to 25 cents a barrel in some instances, and it would fluctuate with the... With the discovery of new fields, it would drive even a minor field would drive the price back down again. Although I remember one thing my dad told me, that the acre of land, speaking of the prolific nature of the Long Beach oil field, the what they call the Haas lease, which was an acre on the southeast corner of Walnut and Willow.
Uh-huh.
At that time, they said that was the largest production that they'd ever gotten out of an acre of land in the history of the world, and of the oil at that time.
Uh-huh.
Those were tremendous wells. They're big wells, 25,000 and 30,000 barrels. They're capable of it.
Ooh.
They were big wells. Now they didn't last long at that production, but they lasted long because Long Beach zones were big. I mean, very heavy, thick zones. And again, you talk to a geologist who would know more about this, but this field was a tremendous field. It had an impact on world prices and world oil. And that's why it attracted people like my dad. I mean, an oil worker was pretty migrant anyway, I mean, by the nature of the...
Yeah, yeah.
And so it didn't hurt him to pick up and move to California.
Yeah.
In fact, it was a lot better than... Oklahoma weather-wise. So,
yeah.
And but as I say, as far as the impact on Long Beach, I can't imagine it had anything but good, because it caused the development of our harbor to go the way it is. I guess you look at the hindsight, I guess they could have developed the oil down there and maybe gone different than a commercial, than a heavy industrial port. They could have gone to the Balboa approach. It might have been interesting to see what would have happened then.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I know there's a lot of speculation on that. We built the breakwater. I think that we obviously broke, I think Long Beach was a little enthusiastic and built too much of one. Because
mm-hmm.
we destroyed probably as pretty a beach as it was
mm-hmm.
In the country, which is kind of a shame. You don't need that much of a breakwater.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Well, what about the downtown deteriorating a lot? And do you have any comments about... Well, not that I would necessarily want to tie it with oil, because I don't know whether we could, but downtown did deteriorate, and yet there was so much oil subsidy, there was so much oil money there for a while before the Mallon case.
Well, that's right. In other words, I don't think the downtown, I think the downtown Long Beach deteriorated like, first off, Long Beach is unique in that it was bounded on the west by the harbor, and of course to the south by the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
It had nowhere to really grow.
Mm-hmm.
It could go north here, but really rather limited. And I think Long Beach's deterioration of its downtown is no different than any other community. I don't think it had anything to do with oil or anything else, other than the fact that you had the advent of your shopping centers.
Mm-hmm.
Regional shopping centers, the Lakewood being the one that almost... I think from there on, now whether this mall will prove to be effective, I think remains to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've got a long ways to go on it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can't imagine people coming from all over the country to shop at a Penny's. And now they may do it, but I'll be surprised. And so, now if they developed with the marina, now that's, I guess, the Tideland's money.
Yes.
And since, like you said, since the Mallon case, and they've been able to, they hunted long and hard to figure out ways to use the money.
Yeah.
And however, we did wind up with certainly a modern harbor.
Yes.
With the facilities of the container and our loading facilities down there. Of course, that's another interesting. I mean, a lot of people don't realize. I suppose you have in your. But you realize the city of Los Angeles has very little oil. In the harbor, they have half the harbor down there, but their oil is very restricted. They don't have very much.
For
the very simple reason, a lot of people don't realize those channels down there are not, those are natural faults.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're on the west side of that fault, there isn't any oil. And that's where the city of Los Angeles is, on the east side of the fault. Those channels are the faults. That's what caused them.
Oh, I just thought the Wilmington oil field meant that a lot of this was Los Angeles.
No, well, no, most of it's Long Beach. That's why Los Angeles has always been quite unhappy.
Yeah.
They by just the fruit, they wound up on the wrong side of the fault.
Mm-hmm.
And they have some oil production, but not near what the city of Long Beach has.
Yeah.
And consequently, the city of Long Beach's harbor has been developed and much more expensive than theirs.
Yes. Yeah.
And but anyway, that's and a lot of people don't realize it, but Cherry Avenue is the fault, and the right down the center of Cherry Avenue, running north center, is your fault, and your fields on the west side of the fault are completely, I mean, they're distinctly different than on the hill itself. Now they can tie them in, but they're shifted,
mm-hmm.
and. Now, we were cross-falling, especially Inglewood Fault, which caused our earthquake.
Yeah.
Is the one that runs up through the Inglewood Hills and caused that entrapment up there for the oil that the Inglewood Field,
uh-huh.
which again were very potent wells.
Mm-hmm.
And but right after the development in the 30s of oil here in Long Beach. That's when you started to go down to Huntington Beach, and that's when that field was found. And in other words, Long Beach led to the exploration along all these various highs is what they are,
mm-hmm.
geological highs. But again, I'm too young or don't know enough about the things of them.
Well, after you graduated from Poly, you went to college for?
Well, I went to the military. I went into the service, and then came back and went to college. Just went to the USC.
Well, what branch of the service were you in?
Well, I was in the Navy, but I like everyone else, came back and went to school on GI Bill.
Yeah.
And so
my husband did also.
But
when you went to college, did you study petroleum engineering?
No, I didn't. At that time, because my dad was operating in the Philippines, he kind of wanted me to take a foreign trade, so I took a business course, and I went over to the Philippines in 1947 with that operation, and then I got called back I went into the military again in the Korean.
Oh, I see.
And
did you serve in Korea?
No, I didn't serve in Korea. I didn't get sent over. I was in the Marine Corps then.
Yeah.
And so I didn't get sent over. But anyway, I had to go back in. And then my dad died when I was in, and so I came out and I started a well servicing company.
Oh, what is a well servicing company?
One that pulls the services of the holes that are existing. Changes the pumps. They're the little units you see around there working on them at night.
I see. Yeah,
those
big.
Yeah, right, right, right. And
that's Rowan Drilling Company.
No, that was the one I had my own.
I see.
Well, Rowan Drilling was drilling. I mean, there's a distinct difference between a service company, well, workover, and a drilling contractor goes out and drills from scratch,
mm-hmm.
initial hole,
mm-hmm.
to find out if there is oil and completes it,
mm-hmm.
for the company. And drilling contractor drills on one of two bases. Either he charges per foot, and that's true contracting, or he charges so much a day for his equipment and his crews. And in a wildcat situation, they charge so much a day because they don't have any idea what they're going to get into in drilling conditions. And drilling conditions being that, I've drilled wells where you can't, you're lucky to make 2 feet in 8 hours. And if you're only getting $3 a foot, you can't.
Mm-hmm.
That'll break you.
Mm-hmm.
So those are days, they charge so much a day for the rig. Now, the most money for a drilling contractor will be made on a footage contract, though, because if he can get in and out quickly, it behooves him to get the hole done, because he gets so much equipment.
Yeah.
And as I was saying, actually, the harbor was very easy digging. They could drill several hundred feet in an eight-hour period. And but it got so highly competitive, they were only getting a couple of bucks a foot. And that was during right at the end of the Depression. But of course, the war changed everything then. There weren't enough drilling rigs to even go around. And that was the development of the LBOD, started a tremendous development along the, down by the Naval Center,
mm-hmm.
and along the Union Pacific right away was developed all along, Union Pacific, and along the, so that started the Long Beach Oil Development, that started that mass development down there, and of course brought about your subsidence you were talking about, but also part of that subsidence, had they known what was happening, they maybe could have done something at the time,
mm-hmm.
as they were doing it, re-inject or something, I don't know. I'm just, again, if you could talk to Lanny Brock, he would be very...
Yes.
And so, who have you had any interviews with any other people?
I don't know that we've the main interviews that sort of started this off and that really led to getting the grant was with Howell Haney, and that was done by Eugene Asher, who was executive vice president of the university. He was the overall director of our project, although the project director itself is Dr. Briegel, who I work for. And we talked with his son, Marvin Haney. She's talked with him, although I don't...
I know Marvin's younger than I am, though, but Howell was certainly, he was with Pike Drilling Company for a long time, and then it was Haney and Williams.
Yeah, and we've talked with a few people in, who would be involved in a way, not involved in oil directly so much as Claire Hannon, who could tell about insurance and how Farmers and Merchants had a branch bank over on Anaheim, mm-hmm. and all the oil workers would mm-hmm. bank there when they pay, you know, on the pay right. day. I spoke with Jim Hurley several weeks ago. His mm-hmm. father was.
I knew his father.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hurley Kelly.
Yeah, Hurley Kelly. Right. And.
Well, now that's interesting because there's a doctor. There used to be another phase you would look into was on Redondo was the what they call the Redondo Clinic, and it was the Dr. Henderson and I forget who other. Now they ran the oil field clinic.
Oh, that would be interesting.
In the early days here,
yeah.
They took care of all the injuries and because I know I broke my arm and that's where I was carted off to
uh-huh.
as a kid and. But that was where they were the first, really one of the first, what I call emergency clinics.
This Bishop's Clinic over here on
right,
was
yeah.
supposed to be an industrial.
Oh yeah, I think it was. He's still alive, I understand.
Is he really?
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. He's been there since I can remember. I mean, in fact, I went in to have a shot here a few years ago, and darn if he didn't have my record reaching back 25 years. He mm-hmm. had no knew where they were. So,
I've spoken with, interviewed Virginia Desmond, the widow of Darrell mm-hmm. Desmond,
yeah, Darrell. Mm-hmm.
And she grew, her family had property on Signal Hill, and they had well right out the back door.
Sure.
We've done some interviews with people who lived on the hill,
right.
who were involved this way because of the oil.
Right, there were several of them, yeah, that's
yeah.
right. And I'm just trying to think of anyone else that... Well, I can't. I mean, you can. There's a dozen of people around here that are old timers still.
Yes.
That know. Now, I'm just trying to think. Other words, coming back to your impact on the city, I just.
Well, we can be kind of general on that impact of the city because neighborhoods developed.
Well.
You know, because of the influx of the people that came because of oil. I mean,
well, that's
so,
right, and quite obviously, Long Beach was a small beach city
yes.
until the discovery of oil.
That's right.
And then of course, I guess the way you say the next major thing happened to it was the development of the oil in the harbor, and then probably the next important employment was, of course, Douglas.
Uh-huh. And the Navy.
Oh, the Navy's always, that's
yes.
correct. The Navy has always been a dollar producer for Long Beach, and that's right, I've forgotten that. And incidentally, they, of course, we exported a lot of oil
yes.
at that time. I mean, and with that, and that gave us business into the harbor, of course.
Yes.
And but now we're importers, so. And but as far as the deterioration of downtown, I don't think it had it corresponded with our oil production going down at the same time. But not, I don't think it had anything particularly to do with that. And it'll be interesting to see, as I say, I think downtown will probably pick that up as they get the marinas in and things to, but that's just a guess.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to think who else would be, did you say you talked to Arthur Bill McCrate?
No, we haven't.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't. I've talked with, as far as people in the neighborhood, I have talked with Ruth Craig Ron and Jack Merrill together.
Mm-hmm, right.
But Mrs. Ron has forgotten a lot of
it. Oh, yes. But she has a lot of pictures and stuff like that.
Yes, she does.
And,
she does. And Jack told some interesting things about growing up in this neighborhood.
Oh, yeah.
And riding horses down along.
Right
the,
here.
On the, right down
right
the
here. They had a stable. They had a corral right here.
Well, he also said, he told me that along Country Club Drive, he thinks he remembers hearing that between what is the Craig's house now and Don Wallace's house was empty for quite a while
yeah.
because they were the, one of the first houses
right.
up in that area, and that when they were digging or something, they discovered all this tar paper underneath bushes, and that he had heard the story that there had been a race course up off of there. Had you heard anything like that?
No. Craig had a landing strip up here for a private airplane.
Did he really?
Yeah, that's
maybe
what,
that's what.
That's what we. I understood that. Mom told me that,
uh-huh.
but that he that was for his own youth, and that would have been in the
20s.
But race course, no, but I could well be. I mean, this was a track. The builder here, Long Beach Building,
Jones,
yes. He had his racetrack right here.
Cars?
No, horses.
Horse track.
But as far as the automobile, no, I'll ask Jack about that because I don't know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
But he's been here as long as I have, so he knows.
Well, he would tell me about riding horseback down along the riverbed.
Yeah,
riverbed. And that one time they were riding, there were some caves over here where there was maybe gambling going on, and these fellows told them to get away. You lived close enough so that you could be riding over here.
Oh, I lived here. Yeah, I came over. See, I went to Las Vegas school, and I kept my horse over here.
I see.
I had a corral over here off Roosevelt. I remember Jack. I knew Jack at that time. I knew his sister. Who else? John, the Craig family were all raised here.
Yes.
Would be. Now, they weren't associated with oil, but they were certainly associated with Harvard and the development of the shipbuilding down there.
After your father died, and then you eventually got into the business yourself, I looked in some old city directories, and I saw your mother's name listed as far as the business was concerned. Was she actively involved after your father died?
Oh, no. No. She wasn't in a business.
Well, I just thought maybe that she had gotten after your father.
Oh, no. My mom was never active in the business at all. No. No, she was, my dad, when he died, he died in 1953, and I was still in the military at the time, in the Marine Corps, and when I got out, I went on in, and I was green then, because I knew nothing about running a drilling company at that time, so it was really a matter of liquidation, which is fine. I mean, I had the help, no problem, and, anyway, then I started building up this rig for my own use, a workover rig. But, now I'm trying to think, from 50, oil field development from 50s on is strictly in the harbor. I mean, there's been very little, except now, of course, your secondary recovery projects that have been going on Signal Hill.
Yeah.
The Shell in Texaco, and that's of course a whole other facet of the oil business. Mm-hmm. And eventually they'll flush all the oil out of it,
Is the secondary recovery because there is an increase in the price of oil now, so they can make it more worthwhile to do it?
No, it was always worthwhile to do it. It's costly. Pretty soon you're going to get to a trade-off where you have to expend a barrel of oil to get a barrel of oil.
Yeah.
I mean,
it
takes energy to get oil.
Yes.
And however, secondary recovery, you've got to remember only a third, probably less than a third of all the oil that's under Long Beach has ever been gotten out.
Oh, I didn't realize.
And so consequently, your secondary recovery programs will go in and use water flood or whatever. These are water flood projects, and should get as much oil again as was ever taken out. Now, these were unknown, of course, in the early days of the oil field, and wouldn't have worked anyway because those were the days where you'd drill next to your neighbor as fast as you can. In order to have a proper secondary recovery, it has to be operated by one operator over a large period, and that's why you have your these units put together. They have to be, and they're so costly that they have to be operated by a major oil company. And but in due time, it should very well pay off, particularly with the increase in the price. But that's that's inflationary, so it doesn't have much to do with it. I mean, Long Beach has been fairly successful, I think. And particularly the Shell units, they're not great secondary recovery, but certainly going to pay for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I think they figured that they would have all the oil that they can get through the secondary process out by, I believe they said, 1890. 1990.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, that will leave that area to be developed in a commercial manner, which certainly someday will be a benefit to this area.
Well, now you told me that, that oil removal from, of oil wouldn't necessarily in itself cause subsidence.
It doesn't generally, no.
So that isn't a problem on Signal
no,
Hill?
No, no, not at all on Signal Hill, no. It's been a unique problem to Dark Harbor. Now, whether it's elsewhere in the world, I don't know. I assume that probably is not, there have been. I don't know about that. But, no, the formations in the harbor are evidently different, and the structure, I'm sure any good petroleum engineer could tell you why it happened. I understood it was a gas more than that, but no, Signal Hill does not have any subsidence, other than what has been caused by the harbor. The actually subsiding, the leach has crept to here.
Oh, really?
Only a few inches. I mean, yeah. where it's a foot maybe here or a few inches, it's as you go toward the to the center, wherever the in the harbor, it of course drops to 12, 14, 15 feet.
Yeah, I see.
But no, Long Beach, the Signal Hill didn't have that problem, and so. But anyway,
did you you mentioned some of the early oil people? I wondered if there were some that your father did special things with. Were they a special kind of breed of men who, because they were involved in this together, that?
Well, the only thing you might say that is different, the type of breed of men, most of the men in the oil field, oil business, with some exceptions, came from the Midwest.
Uh-huh.
They're Oklahoma, Texas. They were, in other words, it was that's where oil had started, and that's where they came from. They were, and that was, you might call that a common bond. I mean, if nothing else, they might happen to be, my parents came from Missouri, but I mean, he went down, they went, their oil fields were in Texas and Oklahoma, and that's where he gained his first experience in them. And then the men who came out here were from either Texas, Oklahoma, wherever the oil fields were, the Sheridan, Bales, the, now Will Reed wasn't, Will Reed was Canadian.
Oh, I see.
But he was a banker, or an insurance business.
Yeah.
But, it threw a death in the family or something, but otherwise, most of the men that came out here were from the existing oil fields. Most of them from Oklahoma and Texas.
Yeah, yeah.
And, somewhat true to this day. I mean, there's still more oil in oil business in Texas. They do more in a week than they do in a month here. I mean, so it's still in Louisiana and all that. However, our offshore has certainly become important. And, then the common bond would be that these men were, for a great part, were not, most of them, a lot of them didn't have a formal education. The nature of the business didn't demand it then, but it did demand expertise in that could only be acquired at that time by working at it. And this even prevailed up into your major oil companies. I mean, some of your 30 and 40 years ago, your presidents of your major oil companies were not necessarily they were gamblers, but they were. They were able to. They weren't afraid to go out and tackle a completely new industry, is what it was.
Well, most of the business is headquartered on Cherry Avenue.
Yes, yes, that was the center. I mean, your supply houses. That's called that was Supply Row, and the drilling companies themselves were there. I mean, Dad was had his offices there for years and years, and he was. I mean, he. Employees of Mitchell, Fairfield, and your my dad did work for all your major oil companies: Union, Standard, Mobil, Humble, and the same in the Philippines, and would have gotten into offshore, wouldn't have been any doubt about it. But he actually been in the. Would have probably, in fact, I think he probably would have enjoyed the, as the technical aspect of it came along, he would have been at ease in it.
Yes.
So.
Well, I remember Jim Hurley was telling me that when he went into the business with his father and he had no background at all, he took some class at City College that was given, and he said there were a number of sons of oil men or oil supply men who took this class who also, knew nothing about it, but were going to go into the business.
That's right. Well, of course, most of the, my age, they had a break of the military.
Yes.
Yeah, that disrupted a lot of, yes. of
career plans.
That's right, exactly. And so, and or at least postponed them, and probably changed a lot of people with the college afterwards, and so, but.
So now your business is the well servicing?
Well, no, I have a valve company, industrial valve, which we sell a lot of oil into refineries and such as that. But, no, in order to have gone into the drilling business, it finally evolved, it took so darn much money. I mean, rigs are very expensive, the offshore units and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And, been pretty bad, it's changed, and of course, since my father died, I've seen the drilling business and the oil business in general go through slumps, and boy, they're into one now. So, the oil companies are hurting.
Yeah.
And, well, it looks like it's going to continue to be. So, but anyway.
Yeah.
I'd like to see if I could get you to, who else you could talk to.
Yes, I'd appreciate any name.
Oh.
Or if at least I can say that I...